What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Show Raiders, episode 567. I am your host, Andrew.
And I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. The show is on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the places where you find podcasts. We are there. Welcome. Danielle, we're going to jump right in. Post Thanksgiving stuff. Guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Let's talk about Thanksgiving. How was that for you?
It was really chill. Wasn't anything crazy. I didn't have to cook a whole lot. I was in charge of pasta salads. So I made like two different ones. My sister made an amazing crab broil, which was so good. And then I think she said she bought like for six people. Yeah. She bought like 15 pounds worth of crab legs.
What?
So we got to take some home. I was like, maybe she even let me take any home. I'm like, oh, okay, sure. It was delicious. But we had like six different starches on that table. Like, a lot of starch. But it was good. It was really relaxed. And
how big was the team? How many folks you had?
Just six people. It was just me, my boyfriend, my son, my sister, her girlfriend, and my grandmother. And yeah, I got a to-do list to do for this weekend for my grandmother for stuff around the house. And I knew it was coming. So okay. I didn't even bother to fight it. I was just like, sure.
Right.
I will be here to clean.
Yes, grandma. Can't
There's no fighting it. No. So that was kind of it. And then like, I had a nice 4-day weekend because why not? I didn't buy anything. Well, okay. I did buy things, but not really for like any
what'd you get
like I got some Christmas gifts and stuff. Okay. Like that, but I didn't go out for, you know, any of the Black Friday, Cyber Monday stuff. It was all online. I did a lot of I did shopping for, you know, smaller businesses, and you know, I was very specific about it. So I got some jewelry, got some like, you know, nice notebooks and stuff like that. I'm trying to not get toys because, well, I don't know. It's like I'm getting to the point where my godchildren, I'm like, do you really need more toys? Do you really need more toys from me?
Right.
And I think some of my gifts, like I love getting them stuff because they like, I love their surprises, but some of my gifts I'm like, I got them this custom handmade, like transforming Disney princesses dresses. And okay. I'm like, okay, they were really expensive. And I'm like, should I be spending that much on an outfit that you're going to wear and destroy?
Right.
I don't know. I love you too very, very much. So I'm trying to avoid toys. They have a younger brother who's like not even one yet. I'm like, you don't need toys. I'll get you clothes. You don't care, and you have so many toys from your sisters, you're fine.
Games? No games?
No, I didn't buy myself any games. Or for anybody. Well, no, I bought a card game. I bought a card game for my goddaughters. They love Harry Potter, so I got that for them. But not really. And then like I think the Saturday after, because Twitch Sings is going away at the end of this month. So
yeah, because I saw you doing that. So how many songs did you end up doing?
I don't know how many songs we ended up doing, but we ended up singing for 7 hours. My throat was killing me the next day, but it was so much fun. And we're terrible singers, but karaoke is just fun in general. So we did that for 7 hours. We weren't thinking we were going to do it for 7 hours. I think we were just assuming like, yeah, we'll do this for like 2-3 hours. And we started at like 5 p.m. And we figured, okay, we'd be done so we can chill for the rest of the evening. Next thing we know, it was midnight and we're like, our neighbors are going to hate us. Because that's the thing, is like Twitch Things is on the PC, so we have our headphones on.
Right.
So we know that yelling. All our neighbors can just hear just us yelling these songs.
Right.
And no music.
Right.
And I'm like, oh no, I have to look at my neighbors in the eye tomorrow.
Did they say anything?
No, thank God. So just, wow. All right. Maybe we'll just pretend it never happened. So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, that was kind of our Thanksgiving weekend. A lot of Valhalla. But how was yours?
A lot of Valhalla. Definitely want to talk about that. Mine was good. It was the three of us, me, my wife, my daughter. The traditional spread, you know, the turkey, the yams, the macaroni and cheese, all that fun stuff. And I ate a lot. Like a lot. And I was just like, wow, okay. And I kept going back for more, like as the days progressed, you know how you go back, you're like, okay, yeah. Tonight I'm good. No more tonight. But tomorrow is a different situation, right? So we kept doing that. So that was good. I actually picked up a game.
Oh, what did you get?
I picked up Uncharted Lost Legacy because I've always wanted that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you bought a game.
I bought something. So I'm looking forward to checking that out for, of course, you know, PlayStation 4. So I'm excited about that. And of course, playing Miles, still having a lot of fun with that. And just creating YouTube content, you know, and here we are, you know, creating some more. But it was very, very cool. And also a little sad because, you know, we had family on like the video chat because we couldn't see them, go see them. That was a little bit of a bummer. But aside from that, I think we ended up having a good time.
Well, that's good. So you didn't buy anything from any of the sales?
No, I fought it. I have a chair that's supposed to get here sometime this week.
Oh, okay.
So I bought a chair, but that was last week, Tuesday. And I'm waiting for the chair to show up. It was supposed to arrive this Tuesday, but it didn't. So I had to call Amazon. Hey, be like, hey, what's up? You know, mentioned it on Twitter. They're like, you know, all of our deliveries are kind of delayed right now. You should expect something Thursday. I'm like, okay. So worst case scenario, what if it doesn't show up on Thursday? They're like, well, you know, you can, you know, call us from there and then we'll go from there. So Thursday is a new date. I need a new chair. I'm spending a lot of time editing stuff here, audio or video, and I need a refresh. I need an ergonomic chair. So I've ordered that, waiting for that to show up in, so looking forward to Thursday. And of course, we got some shelves too that we got to put up over the weekend and stuff. So a little busy, but not too bad. So tell me, give me the scoops on this game that you've been playing before we get into the game award stuff.
Okay, so yeah. Assassin's Creed Valhalla was the first game that I decided to play on my PS5, which I've been addicted to. It is definitely far from being a perfect game, though. Let's just put that out there. I am enjoying it, but it's a Ubisoft game, mm-hmm. and it is buggy. It really is. The controls aren't as smooth, and the last Assassin's Creed game that I played was Black Flag, and I absolutely loved Black Flag. With that being said, I'm still really enjoying Valhalla, even with all its little quirks and controls. Because the story is really intriguing. I haven't finished it yet. I have roughly like 30 hours into the game.
How long is it, do you think?
Supposedly, I'm told, is like around 80 hours. I haven't actually looked up how long the game is supposed to be. But several people who's played, it's like around 80 hours or so. And that's really just playing the story, not any of like making sure you pick up all the little chests and little side quests and all of those things. Just the story. I'm not really a completionist, but like I see the shiny stuff. I'm like, ooh, I got to go get it. Oh, this is really close. I'm going to go and do that. I want to do all of the things because it's just that much fun. Like the combat is pretty good. I like the skill tree that they have, the abilities that you get to equip. Some of the stories in the side quests are funny. There's one where there's a little side quest and the little tie-ins to like other games or songs. It's the quest. It's when you complete it, like people start chatting. I'm not cursing here, but they start chatting, smack the bishop.
Gotcha.
And like, I wasn't expecting that at all.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's so funny. And then there's another one where one of her lines is, so the cake was a lie.
So there's a mom in there, right?
Thing. There's. No.
Is there a mom and a son conversation happening in the game?
If there is, I haven't come across it yet.
Okay.
So, but there's a lot, and I've been enjoying, you know, raiding, building up my settlement. I unlocked fishing a couple of days ago, which was terrible because any game that has fishing in it, I'm going to try my best to catch all of the fish. I think I spent I'm going to just do a couple quests before I go to bed. So like an hour and a half later, I was just fishing.
So Black Flag, any similarities between the two games that you saw that you can connect?
I guess the story continues on, but I didn't play Origins or Odyssey in between it. So I don't know how they completely tie together. I mean, you still have Animus in there and tie in. They're trying to save the world from ending. And I'm not like a diehard Assassin's Creed fan. I pick and choose which ones look interesting to me. So I haven't played all the way through because to be honest, for me, 1, 2, and 3 never interest me, still doesn't interest me. Black Flags did because it had to do with pirates and I love pirates. Vikings did because, or Valhalla did because of Vikings. And I fell into that, you know, bandwagon train with the TV shows. And it's just like a very interesting time period. And plus, what I love about Vikings is that they're just, the women were equals. Like they were not only just wives and took care of their husbands and their kids, but they were also warriors. They are also known warriors. And I feel to a certain degree, like, you know, they were equal to the men. And I appreciated that. So that's why I kind of like that going forward. So that's why I jumped into this one. Odyssey and Origins did interest me, but I'm like, it wasn't something I wanted to just like, oh, I'm definitely need to play this. But after playing it and, you know, I've been streaming again, everybody's like, dude, if you love this, you need to try out Odyssey. I'm like, okay, I'll give it a try after this. Maybe next year, because I'm going to be like engulfed in Cyberpunk. But which is one of my goals. It's like, I'm starting this game and I'm like, I need to finish this before Cyberpunk comes out. But the fact that I keep getting distracted and I just love the story and doing all the little side quests and the side quests aren't really that long, but there's so many of them and they're so funny. I want to do them. And I think that's part of what makes a really good game is that you enjoyed the main story and the side quests almost equally. So that's where I'm stuck at right now. It's like, okay, I'm counting down the days. And the thing is like, there's people in communities that will just remind me, you have 10 days, you have 9 days, you got 8 days now. I'm like, please stop.
You got 8 days. Get that done.
I'm not trying to rush this. Yeah, I know. I'm like, I don't want this pressure. I just want to play this game and enjoy it, but I want to play Cyberpunk when it comes out too. And I'm trying to start off this generation of consoles with no backlog.
Right.
So I'm trying to finish these games and be good about it. Cause I know that if I don't finish Valhalla before Cyberpunk comes out, it might be months before I touch it again. You know?
Probably spring next year.
Yeah, if I'm lucky. Right. You know? So, and then, you know, there's a couple friends, people in the community that have been playing it as well too. And it's just, I think that's what I enjoy. Even though it's a single player experience, you have like several other people who are also playing it like alongside in their own pace and to just talk with them and just share what we've been doing and what our gear setup is like. And, you know, what we love about the game is like, that's really the best part. I think you can very much in parallel with other people enjoy a single player experience together. Like it doesn't have to be a co-op thing. So, and apparently I didn't know this. It was a little bit of a spoiler, but it wasn't a complete spoiler. I didn't know. Oh, well, I don't know if I want to tell anybody else, but it's not directly telling them what the ending is, but I didn't know that there's three endings to it. So now we're all curious and like about which ending each person gets. We won't tell each other until like we all beat it. But of like, wow, okay. So there's choices that you can make throughout the game that's going to affect which ending you get. Mm. I'm like, all right, well, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that was a thing. So I'm very curious about that. And I'm very curious about certain choices that some people made.
Okay.
But yeah, there's a couple things that happen and you come across and you're doing the story and they're like, oh no, I got to make this choice. It's going to be the right or wrong one. And then someone's like, well, I hope you make the right choice. I'm like, well, I do too. I don't know if I did or not. So I guess the ending.
So
that's a fun thing about it.
Overall, you'd say you enjoying it so far?
Yeah, I am. I think it's to the point where I will actually probably pick up the DLC because I didn't pick up the season pack. I just bought the standard edition. I debated buying it an ultimate, getting the extra mission and all the DLC and season pass thing. But ultimately, I was like, just in case I don't like it, I'll only end up spending $60. But I think I'm at the point where I do enjoy it so much that I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I got to get the other stuff.
Okay. A couple of things. Okay. While we're on, I'm thinking about it now. So for timestamp purposes, that was your Valhalla impressions, reactions. What do we want to call that?
Initial.
Okay. Right. Initial impressions. We'll do that. Okay. So next thing I want to talk about, for sure is the Game Awards stuff because that's next week, the 10th. So I want to talk about that. After we talk about that. Okay.
Okay.
I want to talk about Jake Paul and the Nate Robinson fight. Did you see or heard anything about
it? No, but anything that has to do with Jake Paul, I ignore.
Okay. Okay. I want to talk about that. Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. Then you're going to have to fill me in about whatever is going on.
I want to talk about that a little bit. And of course, Mike Tyson and, Roy Jones, which was a fight that happened also, which was the main event, right? So that's the lineup for tonight, okay? So Game Awards, I'm excited to see it, but at the same time, I am conflicted. I think that's the right word because it falls on a day that something else is major that's happening, okay? So I think we're trying to figure out how are we going to resolve that in our minds, okay? So I do not want to do... press this button here. I do not want to do a game of the year. I think we'll hold off on that. Okay. I have different thoughts for game of the year, even though I picked something here, but we'll talk about that another time. But I want to start with, so the way that I believe we agreed is we'll share ours, but yeah, we'll share what we believe will win. Right.
Yeah.
That's the conversation. All right. So we'll go through the categories and categories that we're not sure about. We'll tackle it from there. Okay. So first up, best game direction. Okay. You have Final Fantasy in there as an option. Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, Half-Life, The Last of Us, and, you know, definitely share why, you know, as we go through that. So thoughts on those.
I was stuck between The Last of Us Part 2 and Final Fantasy 7. I went with 7.
Okay.
Just because I like the changes that they made from the original. I don't think everybody shares that with me, but there's certain things I love. I love the fight system that's in it now. And of course, I love the incomplete visual overhaul. It was just enjoyable. So I can't just say no to that. I personally think they did a great job. I mean, it's not perfect, but I love it.
Right. So a lot of these games, especially for me, some of them, I saw a lot of gameplay and gameplay is different from you actually experiencing the game. I'm fully aware of that. Okay. But it was enough for me to decide if I was going to lead in a particular direction. I think that's fair, right? Is that fair?
Yeah.
So Final Fantasy caught my attention there. And Last of Us caught my attention as well. Okay, so I'm going to pick Final Fantasy here. But for the winning title, what are you going with?
I think Ghost of Tsushima.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Because?
Because between all of these games, okay, I've heard a lot of Hades stuff, but I think I've heard a lot more thirsty tweets. Good things.
Okay.
I heard a lot of like thirsty tweets about Hades, but for enjoying the game, the action, the look, everything about that, I think I've heard more about Ghost of Tsushima.
Okay.
Out of all of them.
Fair. Nothing for Half-Life in terms of the game's direction or anything like that? I'm surprised. Nothing there?
I mean, I think it was really highly anticipated, but being VR kind of like limited who had access to it, who was enjoying it.
Okay.
I didn't hear anything bad, but I think honestly, it would be Ghost of Tsushima.
Okay.
What about you?
For me, and because it was highly anticipated, even though it got a lot of hate, Last of Us. It got mix of hate because of how things. So here's what I was hearing from the Last of Us camp, whether it's Twitter or YouTube comments or whatever it might be, that a lot of the interactions between the characters felt forced. That's what I was hearing. And
I can agree with that.
Okay. And this is coming from somebody who didn't play it. Okay. So, and seeing a couple of scenes and seeing a couple of gameplay, I was leaning there too. But in terms of how the game was overall, I think it was still dope from what I've seen.
I still enjoyed it.
Right. But there are a lot of individuals who, because they felt that the game direction was forced, they did not give the game a great rating, that affected their rating for the game, if that makes sense.
Of course it did.
Okay.
I get it. I mean, I enjoyed it. I do see where they're coming from. But it didn't leave it to the point where I can't appreciate it for what it was.
Okay.
I still didn't choose it though.
Right. Exactly. Right. So there's that. Okay. So next one, best narrative. Outstanding storytelling and narrative development in a game.
So this one is hard for me. Okay. What my personal choice was Final Fantasy.
Okay.
And I'm totally coming out from like a fangirl state of this.
Okay.
But it really was stuck between The Last of Us Part 2. And the thing is, if I got to actually play, so I have to like fully, like I didn't get to play every single one of these games. I cannot say anything about the Ghost of Tsushima or Hades or even 13 Sentinels. But I had to go with Final Fantasy.
Okay. Now, Final Fantasy, no, wrong game I'm thinking about. Last of Us made a lot of these categories, right? Do you think that that cloud of how it was perceived because of the game's direction affects it in the categories as we go down the list?
Possibly, because that was, okay, so that's what I brought up to you before you even started too, is that I really disliked how there were so many repeats of games in so many of these categories. And okay. The thing is, Final Fantasy and The Last of Us was in a good portion.
Right.
Same way Ghost of Tsushima. Not saying they don't deserve it, but I'm like, wasn't there more? I mean, I haven't played everything that came out this year.
Right.
But as far as they were received, some of these games have been out for a while. I'm not even going to lie. Like, this year has felt so long. I'm like,
right, that's
did Final
true.
Fantasy come out this year?
That is true. Because you have to remember, like, even going back to the movies, Sonic came out this year.
Right?
Crazy.
So, I guess that's a safe bet to go with what has really stuck out into people's mind and like memories to really be nominated for these.
Yeah.
To be suggested plays a part of it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. So I'm going for a long shot here on this one. Okay. I picked Hades, right? I picked Hades because, so here's how it goes, right? When a game comes out and there's a lot of stir for it, I try to, use the shopping cart method when I hear the stir for a game to see how it lines up with a different camp, right? So if I start hearing the same stir throughout every single platform that we use that's considered social or engaging, including YouTube, then it has to be something there for that particular game. And I've heard, like you said before, there's been a lot of good things said about Hades.
Yeah.
So if this is the only category I pick Hades for, then I'm gonna put it right here.
Okay. You know, okay. I've heard a lot of good things about Hades. A lot of good things about Hades. I have yet to hear anything about what the story's about.
Right.
Like more like that. That's the reason why I couldn't choose this one. Is that like there's a lot of things about people talking about specific characters or the action, but not so much the narrative or the story. That was my hang up.
Yeah. So that's like, hey, we're going to do a placeholder for you and I want to see how it pans out, next week. But at the same time, there's going to be some, not necessarily honorable mentions, but Final Fantasy is going to be mentioned there for sure. And of course, Last of Us is going to be mentioned there for sure. So it's going to be either, I would be surprised, right? And this is not to discredit what Ghost of Tsushima has done. Could be tough to say sometimes, but we'll see, right? We'll see. Mm-hmm. So we'll leave that category. Next one is best art direction. That was easy for me.
Oh, that was easy for me too. Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Yeah, that was tough. So
okay. So, you just said it was easy.
So the thing with that one is, like Ori always looks beautiful, right? But I wanted to give the new guy a shot here. Because I think that if an Ori game came out every 2 to 3 years, I don't remember when the last one came out, but that one was pretty as well. I think Ori would make any category. So for me, because what I saw with Ghost of Tsushima, I went with that one for best art direction. It's beautiful. Any scene that you see in Ghost of Tsushima, It's a portrait. It's a painting, if you will. It's beautiful. So I'll go with that. So what wins next week?
I think Hades is going to win this one.
Okay. Because
it's a very different type of art. Yes, Ori and Hades are two very different looks compared to, you know, Ghost of Tsushima and The Last of Us. And then Ghost of Tsushima and The Last of Us, I think, are kind of both trying to go for that realistic look. I can't say that about Final Fantasy. I mean, Final Fantasy looked great. I loved the overhaul of it and everything, but it doesn't compare to, you know, the realism that, you know, Tsushima and Last of Us Part 2 is trying to achieve. But between that, it's just like there's many games that are trying to go that direction of realism. Even Valhalla, I would say, was trying to go for that. I think almost a common thing. Whereas so many games that do well, that have a different look to it, would be between Hades and Will of the Wisps. Mm. So that's how I narrowed it down between those two. And the thing is, I love Hades' look and style and everything they went for, but I just personally think there's just something mystical and magical about Ori and the Wisps, and that's why my personal choice. But Hades definitely by far sticks out the most out of all five.
Now, was Ori on Steam or no? The second one? I don't know. It is? Okay. All right, so that's it for best art direction. Next category we have is best score and music.
Where'd this you go one with? Was really hard for me.
Was it?
Well, okay. Well, I narrowed it down because I didn't care for Doom Eternal. So,
okay.
So that was out of it. I don't know. They kind of all just stood apart from each other.
Okay. So what was the genre? Let me ask this. What was the genre for The Last of Us Part Two? Was it rock? Was it mellow blues? What was the genre for it specifically?
Man, that's hard to choose the what genre would be. I would put it under mellow blues. It was
okay.
It wasn't bad. It was very, you know, very chill and relaxing when it needed to be.
Okay.
I personally chose Final Fantasy VII because some of that remix of it was just too good. Right. And for me personally, it's just it. Seven was just a lot of that nostalgia factor, which I like for me personally, I think that's perfectly fine for me to be biased for my choices there.
That's fair.
I wouldn't be able to tell you what I think what did more was the more popular choice. I think this is one of the categories I wouldn't be able to even fathom what the majority would choose.
Right. So essentially anything can go here.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Okay. I picked Ori because I have a bias there because I know one of the singers. So, and it's an amazing soundtrack. If you've heard the first one, amazing. Okay. So the second one has some good tunes as well. So I picked Ori and the Will of the Wisps for that. Best score and music. Next one, best audio design. Now, I love audio. Daniela, what'd you pick here?
I chose The Last of Us Part Two.
Okay. Because?
I was between Ghost of Tsushima and The Last of Us Part Two, but okay. I chose Part Two because I actually got to play that one. And it was enjoyable. It really was. And I think it just sounded, it's a little bit unfair because it's the one that I play. Just a bit more crisp. I feel like maybe if I got to play Ghost of Tsushima and I wasn't just watching like people stream it, gameplay it would have sounded a lot better. Yeah. That's the one I went to. It was actually, yeah, that's kind of the one I could really think of.
So who's winning?
I like wasn't bad. What do you mean who's winning? Oh, who's winning?
Yeah.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Interesting. So this category was tough for me, but I had to pick something, right? It was tough because the visceral nature of Last of Us 2, where things were like being ripped apart and shredded and all that stuff that they got in there going on in there. That to me was super well done, right? And then you have the crunchy, pulley, jello-y sound of the Resident Evils. That was really well done too, right? And then you have the soothing nature of the wind and all that stuff with the grass and all that in Ghost of Tsushima. So this was really, really a tough category for me, okay? So who's winning for me? Resident Evil. Okay. Who I picked Ghost of Tsushima because I really like the sound of the game.
Okay.
So we'll see, you know, we'll see. But as we mentioned earlier, The Last of Us made a lot of categories. So we shall see how things play out. So those are our picks for best audio design. Best performance. Best performance, Daniela.
Who I chose?
Uh-huh.
Because I've gotten to really experience it, and I love the way it came across, was Laura Bailey as Abby from Last of Us Part 2, who I think is going to win Miles Morales.
You better believe that. you better believe it. No, it was, you know, all the performances were great, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's kind of it. I mean, I didn't really care for Ellie's, to be honest.
Hmm.
but I really enjoyed Abby and the performance that Laura Bailey gave. But hands down, I just 100% think that it's going to be Miles Morales.
Yeah, so good. I'll tell you this, right? I don't remember the last time I 100%ed a game. Like, I got all the stuff, all the suits, all the side missions, everything. Okay. And going back through it again, as we were talking about earlier, before we started recording, the acting is really good. So seeing that in this category to me was just like, I wasn't even thinking about the other performances, even though I saw glimpses of those performances on video and streams and stuff like that. But for me, it was, hands down, it's going to be Miles Morales' performance. So we don't disagree.
I think that one's
there.
An easy choice too.
Yeah, this category was just like pretty easy to do. Games for impact. I know we had some challenges here because we were like, I'm sure they impacted a lot of individuals. The only one that stood out for me, I'll share in a second. But anything for you there?
This one is an unfair. I cannot say from just firsthand experience on any of these because I haven't gotten to play any of these. If I had, so I don't really have a choice. But that being said, and what I know of these games, I actually chose Tell Me Why, because Don't Nod Studios does a really great job at storytelling and meaningful storytelling.
They do.
So though that, if I had to pick one, that'd be my choice.
Yeah. So the other ones I haven't heard too much about, Kentucky If Found, but for impact, I absolutely agree with you. Tell Me Why. The other choice would be in there for me would be, Spiritfarer, cause that looked really, really good too. In terms of the impact it made on me, right? In terms of what I saw. So those are the two games. So who would win?
This is hard because I don't know too much about a couple of these. Honestly, Spiritfarer.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. All right. We shall see. We shall see how that plays out for Games for Impact. Next one, Best Ongoing. I'm biased here, but I want to hear your thoughts first.
I personally chose Apex because I've actually kind of been enjoying it. When I first tried it out, I think it was like season 2 or 3, and I was like, yeah, it's okay. Tried it out in this current season. I'm actually enjoying it. I like the changes that they made.
Right.
Who I think is going to win and is going to make me really mad if they win.
Okay.
Is Fortnite.
Really? How come?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm just so over that game and everything about it already.
But they're always doing things. They're always doing things to improve and all that.
They do a lot of stuff. They have a lot of things that's going on. They're constantly evolving and then just breaking these new boundaries and setting these new precedents. And so I think honestly it would be Fortnite that wins.
Okay. I'm biased here. The game winning for me here is not Destiny. I think Apex is going to get this one, but it's tough because Call of Duty Warzone has done such a great impact from what I saw, even to the point where the new game kept the same foundation of Warzone in the new game because they didn't want to, you know, do something new when something else was already working. Right. Uh-huh. So that made it difficult to pick a title here. But my bias says Destiny 2, but I don't know if Destiny 2 is going to make it here. I think it's either going to be Apex Legends or Call of Duty Warzone. If I had to pick who's going to win here, I'm going to go with Call of Duty Warzone, which is weird, but I'm going to go with that. But a hot second for me, Apex Legends, for sure.
Okay.
Like super hot second. So those are any other thoughts there?
No.
So that's what's going on there. Best indie. This one's easy. And you know what? It just, even though we kind of looked at this before we started, I just looked at it again and I'm like, why didn't this, why this was easy choice as I'm looking at it. But Daniela, best indie.
Best indie. I chose Hades. Because it looks like a fantastic game and I was convinced to go and buy it, even though I probably shouldn't have because I'm working on Valhalla. But it was just a very resounding yes to Hades from so many people. Like, not a single person had anything bad to say about it. So that says a lot. Who I think is going to win, which I'm not quite sure about why.
Right.
Is Fall Guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we know why, right? It's just like that energy of like everyone paying attention to it in such a huge way, right? And then it's like, it's not like Hades didn't do well or even Spelunky, you know, did well, you know, as well to capture attention, but Fall Guys was like everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun game. I mean, I haven't like maintained and kept up on... I didn't even get a crown yet, so I'm just kind of frustrated with that.
Right.
But I don't know. I think Hades deserves this one.
To win it.
Yeah, to win it. I think it deserves it.
Okay. All right. We shall see.
And that one's not any personal bias. That one is just like, I think you deserve it. But I think it's going to be Fall Guys.
Okay. All right. So best indie. That's what we got for best indie. Best mobile game.
I was actually kind of in between on this one.
Same as I'm looking at it again. Yes, but go ahead.
I was between Among Us and Genshin Impact.
Mm.
I chose Genshin Impact.
Okay.
But even though I think it does a lot better, like not on mobile, I didn't go with Among Us because I've played Among Us on mobile and that is so much harder to play on mobile. It's infuriating to me.
I don't, right.
Like, I'm glad that it was revived when it was like, you know, people jumped on and using it on Steam and it's like, it's getting its second win and a second chance. But yeah, playing it on mobile is really difficult. So I wouldn't say it's the best playable thing on a mobile device. It's a lot. It's a mess. Well, it's not a mess. It's just hard. Harder.
So this one's interesting here. You have more on that?
No, that's it.
Okay. So this one's interesting. If there was a category that was best surprising game, it would be Genshin for me, right? Mm-hmm. Out of nowhere. But that category doesn't exist. So this one was tough because there are two games here that I believe would do well. Actually, three. When you're looking at it, I'm looking at some more. One that might surprise a lot of individuals, Call of Duty Mobile.
I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Okay. So there's that. And on top of the fact that, as you mentioned, you know, with Genshin, that one is great as well. Even the desktop experience, which I love, right? So, I went with, Genshin, hot second for me, Call of Duty Mobile. Who wins here? Among Us.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you on that one. I think Among Us. You know what is funny is like, I don't know a lot of people like personally or anybody on my timeline that really play Call of Duty Mobile, but like on Facebook gaming, the mobile scene on there is insane. And so many people are either playing Call of Duty Mobile or PUBG Mobile or some like knockoff of one of those two.
Right.
It's crazy. Like some of those mobile streamers on there, yeah, like 3-4 times the viewers than some of the top streamers that are really well known that play, you know, your traditional console or PC games.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and it's so under the radar, but it's, like you said, fastly, you know, growing.
Yeah, it's just like it might not be in the ecosystem of like Twitch, but on Facebook, it's those overseas gamers, they're just all about those mobile games sometimes.
Yeah, which is why when you look back, because you have it and I don't, the Nintendo Switch, it was great that they did the design where you can dock it or make it mobile to capture the two audiences, right? The overseas as well as, you know, where we are today. So, so that's best mobile game. That is best mobile game. I think that Among Us might take it there. And you know what? We might be completely wrong, but this is the beauty of just making these guesses. And I'm really having a good time with this. Next one, best community support. Okay. Daniela, what do you got?
For my choice and for who I think are going to win are actually one and the same. Fall Guys. And my biggest, like, I was actually kind of thinking about Fortnite for winning it. Not my personal choice, but it came down to like exactly what it describes as recognizing a game for outstanding community support, transparency and responsive, inclusive of social media activity and game updates and patches. So if there's anybody who has been just like really out there, really responsive, really like interactive with the people who are playing their game,
yeah,
it has to be Fall Guys.
Not No Man's Sky? Nothing for them?
No.
I'm just asking.
That's only for me, it's really biased. It's not probably, but it's biased. It's because they had that really rough start. So they've been trying really hard to get people back in, but for like the most fun, for people who've been enjoying it, for people who like it leaves a lasting impression upon them.
Okay.
It's Fall Guys.
Hmm. Yeah, I know I have a biased pick here, but I'm going to go Apex here. Because I'm always going to pick the games that are like, you know, bias that I play a lot and stuff like that, but I definitely want to be like a little bit honest here. So best community support, I agree with you that Fall Guys did a lot, but I think Apex is under the radar a lot this year. Even with the recent Steam push. And you've been playing
Maybe. Well, okay. Well, just because I've been playing it doesn't mean it's doing better. But my problem is that when it comes to BRs, whether I think Apex has a declining audience.
Okay. Wouldn't we say that for all the games that are in similar nature?
Yeah. So I'm not including like a Fall. Like Fall Guys is kind of a BR. But like Cold War.
Right.
You have Fortnite. And you have Apex. So if I had to choose those as the top three current battle royales, I would say that Apex kind of their pool of players, I think, is not as hyped. They're like moving over to Warzone. They're sticking with that. So that's the impression I'm getting. That's the way I see it and feel.
Okay.
So if that's true, I don't know. I've never looked at their numbers, but it just from the overall, I don't see as many people playing Apex.
Right. But it's weird though, right? Like, even though I don't play Apex that much, I still recognize that there is a lot of energy and even positivity whenever they release something new.
Well, they do have their Hollow Bash event that's going on now, but it doesn't seem as hyped up. And this is me going from like, you know, what I see being put out there from people.
Right. That's fair. So who's winning for you?
Fall Guys.
Fall Guys, definitely. Okay, cool. Fall Guys. All right, Apex. I'm still giving you a love, though. You've done some things this year. That's best community support. Okay, so all you. Best VR, AR?
This one was hard. I went with Dreams.
Okay.
Simply because I think it looks really beautiful and really cool and the little things that you can do in it. Plus, I think it's also a bit more accessible as far as VR goes because it's available on PlayStation. But, man.
Who's winning?
I am actually stuck between Half-Life Alyx and Star Wars Squadrons.
Okay. All right. Now we're talking, Daniela. Okay. So who's winning?
That, oh my goodness.
Because there was some challenges with the Star Wars a little bit, right? Because yeah. people were excited that they were going to experience the VR, and this is the chatter in the streets, right? People were excited that there was going to be VR for Star Wars, but there were still some quirks in it from what I've heard, right? So you had that happening, but you didn't hear that same energy for Half-Life.
I know, but there's still people who really, really enjoyed Star Wars Squadrons. And this is right. coming from like everybody that I know within our, like the year community that's played it. I'm going to go with Half-Life Alyx winning though.
Okay.
Because I know way more people who took the week off to play this game than they did Star Wars.
Right. Not even the excitement about it when it was first announced. It
just like just it being Half-Life was enough.
Right.
For people.
Exactly.
So I'm going to go with that one for winning.
Okay. Fair. Fair. I'll hold that with you as well. Innovation and accessibility. So now we struggled with this one, right?
Yes.
And because it is not necessarily something that we look for, but we do believe it is extremely important, right? So having yep. said that, talk to me.
Accessibility is obviously the most important thing. But because it's not features that we look for a return on, I couldn't choose one because I haven't tried any of those features. And I know that's a privilege for us. But if I'm being honest with myself, I feel bad for not knowing this answer.
Okay.
Because I like I said, I've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I haven't stopped to really look at my settings to be like, okay, what's there? What is needed? Man, I feel bad. I feel worse even.
Okay, so even you want to gracefully bow out of this one?
Yeah, I think I do because I don't want to offend anybody personally. I really don't want to offend anybody.
No, we're not. We're being honest, this is, right?
Well, and this, you got to be really careful, even though you're being honest and you're trying to navigate well, really well.
What I mean by that is the fact that it's not something that we don't think we know it's important. It's just not a setting that we're looking at, you know, all the time, right? But we know mm-hmm. that is extremely important. So it's one of those things where this is the live reaction of the fact that this category exists and we're trying to gracefully show respect without saying anything crazy.
Yeah. So I don't have a pick personally or to win it for this entire category.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going to be. I just hope that there's something in there. And again, I mean, you can always reach out to me. I would love it if somebody reached out to me and educate me always. So I'm here.
That's fair. So we will gracefully move forward. Best action, Daniela, thoughts on that?
Oh, Streets of Rage 4. That game was so much fun.
So good.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, how could you not? That was just enjoyable action there.
It's great. Now, the multiplayer felt like it died really, really fast. I don't know what happened there. Like, even when I recently visited the game a few weeks ago. So, I don't know what they're doing to keep that audience alive on the platform so they can play more of this game. But this game had every recipe of goodness in there. Everything is good in this game. But nothing Neo? You didn't do any Neo?
No, that's not my cup of tea.
Okay.
I tried a little bit, but I really don't I don't really care for Dark Souls-y types of action.
Okay.
Just because I'm terrible at it. doesn't mean it's bad. I'm just terrible at it. It frustrates me. And for me, I want to be able to enjoy the game the way I like to enjoy games. And that was Streets of Rage 4 for me. But who I think is going to win? Hades, because there's a lot of action. There's a lot of fighting. The way that they worked that, I think, was amazing. So for me, I think Hades is going to win it, though.
So I'm going to throw in a little wrench in there, right? As much, as great as Streets of Rage 4 is and was when we played it, or is right now, present day, Doom is under the radar right now. In this category.
Yeah, I haven't even chosen Doom for anything.
Like Doom, okay, from what I've seen, is wild. Okay? And I think that as a, even if it's a hot second, and even if it wins, I wouldn't be surprised, because Doom has a lot of crazy action in there. Because the fact that Doom was coming back, there was a surge for that energy for it. People were excited. We saw clips and, you know, whatever, you know, it may be, a lot of action in Doom. So I wouldn't be surprised if it gets, and when I'm thinking action, I'm thinking super fast pace, you know, consistent, you know, split second decisions type of action. And well, one would lead to death, which is Neo, right? Streets of Rage, not so much, but Doom should be in that conversation as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if Doom won, but I want Streets of Rage to win. Right. So that's how that goes. Best action adventure.
I think this one was easy.
Okay.
So my personal choice and the one that I think is going to win is Miles Morales.
Fair. Okay.
100%. Like, I think there's just no question in my mind. Even though I'm enjoying Valhalla, and I thought that Last of Us Part 2 was great.
Even though you're enjoying Valhalla.
Yep. I think Miles Morales, I don't think either one of those games or any of these games really match up to Miles.
Okay. Strong second, I would say Ghost of Tsushima in this category. Strong
second. Yeah, I can agree with a strong second. Yeah, I can agree with that.
Right. But definitely taking this cake is Miles. Absolutely. I'd be surprised if they gave it to somebody else. But yeah, hey, you vote, right? You vote, we find out. So we're gonna find out.
I am gonna be surprised, like, if out of all of these, I will be surprised if Fallen Order wins, okay?
And that was earlier, was that February, March?
I don't know. Right. To be honest, like, right. I said, I don't even, some of these games, I'm like, that came out this year.
Yeah, it was a while.
Fallen Order falls into one of those categories of like, that was this, okay. But no, yeah. I just think it's going to be Miles.
Yeah, so good. And the replay value, even though you know what's going to happen, is high because of how well the game is done. So there is that. Best action adventure. Best role playing game.
I chose Genshin Impact.
Okay.
Who I think is going to win. Yakuza.
And that small of a window?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I love the games. Don't get me wrong. But really?
Yeah. I think there's a strong possibility of it. I know that only recently just came out.
Yeah.
But I think so.
I'm surprised.
I honestly think it's actually pretty close between Genshin Impact and like and Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Yeah, because I didn't see much from Wasteland. Not a lot of energy throughout the year for that. And I don't even know when that game came out. But I remember Yakuza was very, very recent because I had requested it. I didn't hear anything back, which is fine, but I still love the games. Persona 5 Royale, didn't hear much from there, right? I don't even know what it is about. Was it an extension of the 5?
I don't even know much about Persona 3, but
Well, five I have. It was a gift, and I really do appreciate it. It was actual gift from a human, not and PR is a human too. What I mean, like an actual human that wasn't PR. Okay. That's what I mean. That could sound really bad really quick, but Genshin Impact, I think, is going to win this one.
Man, I wouldn't be surprised if they would, but I'm still going to go with like that wild card Yakuza.
Now what's interesting that, and that's really a wild card. What's interesting too is, I don't know. Did we do, okay. So best fighting is next. So let's do that. So that was best role playing game. You said Yakuza. I said Genshin Impact. Cool. We'll go to the next one. Best fighting game. I'm biased here, but I want to give this some more thought because we're actually, you know, with you guys. So, you know, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening for sure. I want to give it some more thought because we're actually looking at it real time now. Okay. Daniela, what's going on here?
I have no idea. I barely pay attention to the fighting games.
Okay.
Like I have the most, I guess, exposure to Mortal Kombat 11 and Street Fighter 5.
Correct.
But if I had to choose one, I really don't know. I feel like, okay, Street Fighter 5 Champion Edition. I mean, Street Fighter 5 has been out for a while already. Do they really deserve to win this year? I don't know. Same thing with Mortal Kombat 11. I'm like, was right. That really this year? I know Street Fighter wasn't this year, but I really couldn't. I couldn't tell you.
And
I
this
know
one
of the other games, but I've never ever watched it. I don't know anybody who really plays them.
Exactly.
And I don't know where to go with that.
So, you know, I'm biased, so I'm going to pick Street Fighter, but I think Mortal Kombat is going to pick this one. Because out of the other ones that are here, you know, Under Night, One Punch Man, and Grand Blue Fantasy. Never even seen that game. Okay. One Punch is an anime. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And Under Night, no idea. Okay. So now by just knowing what the game is or what it isn't, you know, I straight went for the bias first, which is Street Fighter. But if I were to do who's winning, Mortal Kombat for me in this category. Surprising if any of the other ones get picked, which is great. I'd be educated there once I see it. Strong second for me is Street Fighter. So Mortal Kombat for me here.
I'm just going to go with a random one.
Okay, fair.
Actually, I don't even know which one to pick. I'm like looking at it. I'm like, I don't know.
It's tough, right?
Especially when I don't know too much about it because I'm only exposed to these two main games. I guess I would go with Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
I don't know why I feel like Street Fighter shouldn't win.
Street Fighter bias. You know, I know I'm biased with Street Fighter, so I'm always going to pick Street Fighter in most of these categories, especially when it comes to fighting, because I grew up with Street Fighter. Then I was introduced to Mortal Kombat and the other ones, you know, Darkstalkers and et cetera, et cetera. But for me here, once the show rolls next week, I think Mortal Kombat is going to take it, and then Street Fighter is a strong second in terms of votes. If they show the number of votes, if they do it that way, I think Street Fighter will be right there with the votes. These are legends we're talking about here. Like the new ones, they're legends in their own right because of the anime and what they represent in their own space, respectfully, not taking anything away from them. I'm just saying from what we've seen, the general masses, which is not necessarily a great indicator. See, I'm trying to make a case on both sides here as I'm thinking about it. But I think that Mortal Kombat may take this one.
Okay.
All right. So that's what's going on with that. Best fighting. Best family. Daniela, your take?
Animal Crossing, hands down.
Yeah, there was so much goodness that came from this, man. I mean, from all fronts, right? From shows, from different podcasts, from just bringing people together, you know, sad moments, happy moments, so much surrounded Animal Crossing. Even if you were not a fan, you were touched by it in some way, shape, or form. I think it's very difficult to find somebody somewhere at the very height of, if you want to say this, popularity of Animal Crossing that you weren't touched by it. Memes, clips, streams, whatever, gaming videos, you know, 10 minute of whatever, you know, people posting on YouTube. Somehow you were touched by this game.
And I think of these games, Animal Crossing is the most family friendly one. And that's the thing, like for the best game appropriate for family play. I'm going to be surprised if Fall Guys wins simply right. because yes, it's a fun party game, but it's also like, there can only be one winner. Only one.
There could be.
And even if you're playing with your family, you're going to, and the, you guys all make it to the end and you're in the top like 10 and you're just going for that crown. Nobody's going to be happy if one out of the four of you win.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be fighting against each other. This is like saying that like Mario Party is a great family game. Is it a great game? Yes. But you play it if you want to end hating your family.
Right. So a couple of things are like even though they're faded in the background, if you will, a couple of things are sticking out to me in this particular lineup, right? Fall Guys, Mario Kart. I know some people say Mario. I say Mario. All right. So Mario Kart, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Are there any surprises here?
Actually, my strong second would be Minecraft Dungeons.
Interesting. Okay.
I did because I've seen a lot of, you know, mom and son, mom and daughter, dad and daughter, dad and son, who actually like spend a lot of time playing Minecraft Dungeons and enjoying. And I think it was a good mixture. So honestly, if I had to pick a strong second that has a good possibility, it'd be Minecraft Dungeons.
So there was another game that was very similar to Mario Kart game that I loved. That was like a kart game. If they stayed consistent, I think they would have made this category. I can't think of their name right now, but it was really good. Something Drift. I can't think of their name right now, but that kart game was really good for a free to play kart game that would do well if it made this category. But if it was against Mario, the majority would pick Mario, even though there was another kart game in this category, but that one was really good as well. But yeah, Animal Crossing takes this one. Best family. Final thoughts?
Nope, that's it. I'm just, if there's any category I'm 100% sure of, it's that one.
Okay. All right, fair enough. So we'll roll with that. Best sim strategy.
You know what's interesting about this? Okay, so first of all, disclaimer, I haven't played any of these games. Even amazingly, okay. I've never played Gears Tactics. That's amazing. But the one I think that kind of sticks out for this, I know it says Sim Strategy, and it right. is a sim.
Right.
Is Microsoft Flight Simulator. It's like, if you didn't give this category like a name, and you just showed it to me, it's like, which one of these is not like the other? I'm going right. to choose Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Right.
Like,
Right.
Like this category choice is very interesting because I feel like there's similarities in between the other four games. I mean, except for Microsoft Flight Simulator. Really weird.
Your pick?
And to be honest,
I'm curious.
Out of these five games,
yeah.
the only games that I've heard anybody playing or even talking about was the Flight Simulator, which is really interesting because that's in there.
Okay.
I because the only one that I'm most familiar with and I know has a long-standing community of people who enjoy the games is XCOM. So that would be my Indeed. Personal choice if I had to choose. And who's going to win? I'm going to have to stick with the safe one of XCOM as well, too.
Really? Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so different for me in this particular category. From what I've heard, you know, the energy behind the game, the popularity at that time at its highest peak, when it was being mentioned all the time on all the social platforms, if you are paying attention to them in that way. Gears Tactics and Microsoft Flight Simulator, two games that stick out for me. I think Microsoft Flight Simulator might take this one.
Yeah, I think you might be right, but I'm kind of hoping not.
I'm just saying, but I mean, you could hold on to your category, but I'm saying like, from what we saw or didn't want to see, right? Because it may not necessarily have been a high interest for us, especially for me. I'll speak for myself. The ability to watch individuals fly from one section to another in real time. And they really did that according to the hours and the minutes of that particular flight. And we, you know, peeked in that stream or whatever. I think that, that said a lot about that particular game. And for me, I wouldn't be surprised if it takes it here. And then strong second, Gears Tactics.
Okay.
So that's
yeah, that was a hard category for me.
Yeah, that one's tough. We got tough ones coming up, Daniela. We got some more tough ones. We have some more tough ones coming up. Okay. So we're just going to have to do the best that we can in the upcoming ones. All right. So best sports racing category.
Personal choice, hands down, Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Personal choice.
Who I think is going to win FIFA.
Yeah.
I think when it comes down to it, it's like almost a given that FIFA is going to win their sports category.
Yeah. Okay. Not dirt. Nothing on dirt.
I think that'd be a close second.
Interesting.
Okay. I think dirt and Tony Hawk are pretty close for that second.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
But nothing for F1 or NBA. 2K21. I just think everybody's going to choose FIFA.
Yeah, for sports, like, yeah, I totally agree with you. If FIFA's in there, that's the world's sport, okay?
Yeah.
Anywhere, right? So FIFA, I would say, even though I'm biased here, I picked Tony Hawk, FIFA would win this one, and strong second, Tony Hawk. That's where I lay to rest there. Best multiplayer. This is going to be, this is an interesting category, Danielle. Let's have some fun with this one. There's some stuff in here. This one is tough. Like looking at it now, we looked at it earlier, guys. We looked at this earlier. Okay. And looking at it now, it's like, we got to start over. Okay. Because you have Animal Crossing in there. Among Us is in there. And you have Fall Guys in there. That's
personal
tough.
Choice. My personal choice. Animal Crossing.
Okay.
But who may actually win is what is the hardest. It's funny because I think Valorant holds its own really, really well. I think they're all really great games that has a very strong possibility of like why they deserve to win this category. Come back to me. You choose yours.
All right. So let's talk about it. So let's read what it says, right? It says for outstanding online multiplayer gameplay and design, including co-op and MME, right?
Yes.
Irrespective of game genre or platform. Irrespective of that. Doesn't matter what the platform is, which is why this was tough, right? Because you have Among Us in there, Animal Crossing, and you have Fall Guys in there. That's crazy for a category. Now, if I didn't pick with my bias, I would say Among Us. But I can't ignore the impact that Animal Crossing had and Fall Guys. It's impossible to ignore that, which is why it makes it tough. So up to November, let's just do it this way. For me, just as I'm thinking out loud, up to November, I would say Among Us will take this. Okay. And then actually it's still accurate. And then the strong second will probably be, Animal Crossing. So I don't think that changes. So I'm thinking about the surge, peak of popularity, elections, everybody's playing Among Us, goes down, people are still playing it on mobile. People are still, you know, sending messages on tweet. Hey, I just created a room, you know, jump into Among Us. All that, taking into account all that stuff. Among Us should take this, like, easily. Okay.
I think Among Us will also take this because of its accessibility to everybody. Yeah, you can play it on you know, PC. You can play it on mobile. On mobile, you can play it for free. You know, you have a couple ads here and there. It's also really super affordable. I think it's $5. Something it really, is. Really cheap on Steam.
It is, yeah.
So you have a lot more people who are, have access to playing Among Us and getting experiencing it and playing it. So I think Among Us has the strongest point of winning it. With honestly, man, between Animal Crossing and Fall Guys, I think that, like, they're both really, really, really close for being second between those two.
I agree.
Valorant, I think, is the last. Call of Duty would definitely be third. I think they have a very strong community.
They do.
People playing it. So
they do.
I want to go with Among Us.
Okay, so you're torn between... Fall Guys.
Well, yeah. Between actually winning, who may actually possibly win it, I think it's going to be Among Us. Okay. Who I chose was Animal Crossing.
Okay.
But yeah, this one is definitely the hardest because, like, they're all so enjoyable and they're all still so, you know, they leave a lasting impression of people who've played it and people who are continuing to play it. Yeah, I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah, definitely tough. So I went with a bias because I like Call of Duty no matter what year it is. So I pick Call of Duty here. But, you know, looking at the category again, it's safe to say that this is tough because of the games that they put in there. And there's going to be some close votes between Animal Crossing and Fall Guys. But I think Among Us may take the cake there. So here we are, Daniela. We get to the tougher categories for us. Because of what we have seen or heard from this group. Okay. So this group is Content Creator of the Year. Now, I've heard different things because I know we kind of did a little, hey, do you know this person when before we started? So. This one's tough because I'm aware of some of them. I wasn't aware of others, but let's start with you, Daniela. How do you want to go with this one?
Well, the person I know the least about is Alana Pierce. Okay. I don't necessarily follow her. As far as I know, she's right. A writer for Sony, and she's done some things here and there. It's not like, right. I don't completely know her. I just know her the least.
Big personality, big YouTuber. As we talked a little bit before we started the show, I think she has a big YouTube presence as well. Hosted a lot of different things. She's usually in the mix of a lot of stuff, but we do not know her. Like that, right? In terms of actively following her stuff, not because we don't like her or anything like that. We just don't. Okay. That's it. So, having said that, thoughts?
I like that there's three women on this category.
Okay.
That's what I love, first of all, that there's at least three women out of the five. Okay. Sorry for any Nick Merckx fans and Tim the Tatman fans. I don't necessarily dislike them. I'm just kind of tired of seeing their names everywhere.
Because
they are everywhere. They are established. They've been around for a while. They've done a lot of things. They've achieved other things. So why not give somebody else?
Should that negate them from not being in the category?
No, but that's why I'm not going to choose them.
Okay, fair. Okay. So Nick Merckx. I'm not going to go there. No.
The two that I was stuck between was Valkyrie and Jan Lopez. So, but I chose Jan because she's also the co-founder and CEO of Black Girl Gamers, and she's done a lot for the community. And I don't think nearly as many people know what she does, know who she is, and see everything that she's done. And I think she deserves that spotlight.
So Valkyrie, okay, so now we're actively looking at these individuals real time, because 100 Thieves, American YouTuber streamer, currently streams and posts videos on YouTube mostly of her playing a variety of different games and genres. That is Ray Valkyrie. Nick Merckx. Heard great things. I've seen him in some interviews. I like the vibes. Sounds like a cool guy. Think he's here. I think he's local. Not local in the sense of up north. Tim the Tatman used to have a beard. No longer has a beard. Like you said, he's everywhere. Right? He's been on a lot of major streams, including, you know, Ninja and those guys, Lupo and those guys, right? Just thinking out loud. So you're picking?
Jan Lopez.
Okay. I don't have a pick here. Can I do that? Can I opt out?
Okay. You can opt out.
I can?
I guess, yeah.
It's probably not right. That's not right to opt out, right? So I'm trying to find a right balance of performance, right? And not just putting somebody in a slot because they should be in a slot, right? So kind of the same conversation that you were mentioning as you were mentioning from the big names, right? I know you didn't mention Lupo, but, you know, Lupo, should he be here? Should he not be here? Tim, you know, a Ninja, you know, Nick Merckx, you can go down the list, right? Of all the names that we see a lot, often big, huge followings and stuff like that. So I don't know. I think it would be unfair for me to pick somebody here.
Who do you think deserves to be up there?
Devin Nash. Okay. I like Devin.
Okay.
Okay, so let's do that. Actively creating content that I noticed on a regular basis. It'll be Devin Nash and the awesome girl with the Tourette's.
Sweet Anita.
Sweet Anita. Okay. Yeah, like that I've actively seen. Black Oni. I like Black Oni. I'd put him in there. That I actively watch off and on enough for me to say, hey, should be here. Right? So yeah. I would have to personally affect me, not just somebody that is super popular already that I'm just picking just because I think they should be there. So there would have to be for this category for me, personal impact for me to, right? I've learned so much from Devin Nash in the last 6 months. It's crazy. Dude's always teaching, always has some dope guests, right? I actively watch him on and off, have him in the background in the ears or something like that, right? So I think he should be here for me. That's a personal, you know, personal favorite. So it'd be like that. Then if you go super YouTuber, Nick Nimmin, YouTuber, big YouTuber, right? He's a content creator on YouTube. Huge. I think 700,000 subscribers or whatever. So I'd probably have Nick Nimmin up here as well. Roberto Blake, maybe, right? Depending on how we're defining this particular category. So it would have to be a personal impact person, not just a person that I think, hey, I've heard the name. So that's how I'm picking it.
Okay.
So I gave some names. They're just not up here. Okay. So don't be offended. All right. So that's how I'm picking that category. So you picked J.N. Lopez.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. So content creator of the year. Shout outs to the entire panel there. Next one, best debut game. Thoughts on that?
I chose Mortar Shell. Who I think is going to win is actually between Raji and Phasmophobia.
Okay. So jumping back to the other cat, we didn't, first time tonight we're doing this, jumping back to the category we're just at, Trainwreck TV. You familiar with Trainwreck?
No.
Okay. Super big show in terms of the podcast that they do on Twitch. Devin Ash is usually on that panel because he co-hosts that show. Huge show, right? But not mentioned here. So that category is very, very specific on how they picked it. And I'm thinking about those individuals on that panel. There's a fine line that runs through them, but I just don't know what it is. And I know they're not there by accident, obviously, but Trainwreck TV is another one that's an interesting character as well as a super content creator. So Mortal Shell, I'm with you there. Phasmophobia, strong second or going winning?
I think that's the one that might win.
Okay.
But I was stuck between Mortal Shell and Raji. To be honest, between those two, but I ended up going with Mortar Shell.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think Phasmophobia might win it.
Still because hot.
Yeah, it is. So that was my choice.
So with Mortar Shell, super anticipated, right?
Yeah.
We saw the rise of that. It came out. The pull of the creators creating for it wasn't as high as it should have been for a game that the small team did such great work on, right? So it was just like, wait, okay. So yeah, you love it, love it, love it. You say it's difficult because it's difficult. You're not going to play it, but it's still a beautiful game and it deserves the accolades that it got. So what happened, right? But it definitely deserves all the accolades that it was receiving at that time. But it kind of like, it dipped, right? We saw the dip and we haven't really heard from it as much. But Phasmophobia is fairly new. Was it third or fourth quarter it released? When did that release? It's recent, right? After June or before June?
After June.
After June. Okay.
I think it was after June.
And people are still playing it.
Yeah.
Like as of yesterday, I was still watching people play it.
Right? And I think that's the one, that's the reason why it's going to win.
Right. So still hot. And I agree with you. I think it's going to win there. But Mortal Shell was really dope, which is my pick. This one here, we got lost.
I'm sorry.
We got lost after that.
You start going to the esports thing and I'm like, and I'm gone.
I'm sure these individuals are amazing, but we're not going to we're going to bow out of that one. Okay. Coaches, I'm sure they're great coaches too. Okay, we're gonna bow out of that. But we did stop here.
You stopped here because I'm still lost on that one.
Right. Okay, so energy marketing, surge, visceral, salivating, excitement, all that stuff, League of Legends, Call of Duty.
Yeah, if I had to choose, I'm gonna choose the one that I hear the most about and I hear more about worlds than anything else.
Right.
And so, I think it's funny because when like every TwitchCon I've ever gone to, I think Worlds has always fell like within that weekend or really close to it because suddenly like everybody leaves dinner real quick and goes to somebody's hotel room or Airbnb. It's like, we got to watch Worlds. I'm like,
right.
Okay.
Right.
Go
now, Overwatch
that.
Has its peak, right? Still a great game for whatever it represents the community and all the individuals who play it and who are excited to see it. But year-round excitement. Can't wait till that event comes back again. Yes, Overwatch gets you know, some energy there, but not as much as League of Legends and Call of Duty, from what I've seen. I could be wrong, but from what I've seen, I don't think they're that close.
Yeah, I don't even know much about it. You're asking me esports. This is like talking just regular sports with
me. Yeah, I mean, but you've seen enough energy to know, like, hey, you know what?
Yeah,
you heard about that. And even if they included like a Street Fighter one, like a Capcom fight thing, if that made it in there, it would be either the Capcom fight one, Call of Duty, League of Legends, because we hear about those on a regular basis. Like Super Smash, the tournament that was supposed to happen, from what I remember, it kind of dipped because of some copyright challenges there, where they were trying to make a game do what a game wasn't supposed to do. So they were like, nah, that tournament is not happening, right? So I saw that, right? But in terms of pure, large scale excitement, anticipation, League and COD.
That's all I think of esports.
So who's winning though? Who's winning though?
League and everything.
League, right? You think League's good? Okay, so fine. So I will say I'll go Call of Duty here, because I know League is super popular. They probably get put in a category like this often. So I'm gonna go bias. I'm gonna go Call of Duty, even though I'm not really that certain. I'm gonna go Call of Duty. Just for kicks. All right. Just so that's what we kicks. Have there.
Just
for
now kicks. We're just winging it on these. You're like, okay, we're getting.
Yeah. From all we know, just for kicks, we're going to go on that one. Best esports game. Ooh, okay.
League. Who I think deserves it. I don't know. I'm just going to go with League. I don't know who I think deserves it. I guess. Even,
Okay, go ahead. I have my pick.
I'm just going to go with League.
I'm glad we waited on this one. So you're going to go with League. I'm going to go with CSGO.
They're right? Like the two oldest games in this entire list.
Right. But the thing is, like, international. I'm not even reading what they're giving you, like how you should pick the game. International legends, right? That even though you don't know the people playing, you know that those tournaments are legendary in their own right whenever they're mentioned or whenever they're having them, right? See it enough on the timeline to know that it's happening. But when it comes to League stuff, not so much. CSGO, pretty much. Maybe Valorant here and there for some stuff, but nah. Call of Duty, big on the event side of things for what I see, but not so much that I need to see this game and who's going to play it. Right? The event, yes. The game, okay. But CSGO, totally different. That's huge. So I'm thinking CSGO
here. I think League is bigger than CSGO at this time.
And that's fine. I'm just saying from optics for me, if I were picking here, I'm picking CSGO.
All right.
They're like, okay, we shall see how wrong you are next week. So we'll see. All right, so that's what's going on there. A best esports host. I'm sure they're great people.
The only person I've ever heard of on this is Golden Boy.
Right.
Other than that, because I don't know esports teams or events like that, I don't know their hosts either.
Right. Right.
So, I'm not sure. Your guess is as good as mine.
Well, Frankie's not here.
Does she do esports, though?
Yeah, I think so. Frankie Ward? She's not here.
Oh, I guess she started doing some stuff, right?
Frankie, yeah. She's done...
I know she's a host. I know she's hosts quite a few events, but I don't know about esports hosts.
Yeah, Frankie Ward...
Those breakdowns. I think somebody that I would love to see come up to this point, if I had to choose somebody, would it be Lucy May Games?
Lucy May Games. Why does that sound familiar? Glasses or no glasses?
Sometimes she wears gunners sometimes, or equivalent to gunners. But gotcha. No, she played a lot of gears. She's done a few, and she's been a host for a few different things. but her she goes by Lucy May Games, but her name's Lisa Merlambry.
Gotcha. Host reel, shoutcaster. Okay, gotcha. Okay, cool. Do not know her. Okay. So you have her, and then you have Frankie Ward, as I mentioned. And of course, the face that we've seen a lot, including him recently hosting the game show with The Rock, right? Golden Boy, right? I think he's in there for that.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that as well. Okay. Final thoughts on this one?
Nope, because I don't know these people, but I know who I think would make a great impression. Fantastic to watch and entertaining is Lucy May Games. So that's who I would choose. Esports team. Man, I'm just going to pick this one. Like, I choose like my football teams to win.
Pick somebody.
I don't have one.
You don't have one? No, I'm going to pick based on the game that they play. I'm going to go Call of Duty.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to go Call of Duty.
I went with what I thought their name sounded funny. It was San Francisco Shock. I have no idea. But on top of that, like, I don't know. I also went by how happy they looked in their picture.
Right.
And those guys look really excited. Like, we did it. Oh my God, we did it.
That means they're winning. So we didn't do game of the year intentionally because we want to wait on that as we wrap the year. So we're going to have conversations surrounding that, and we'll add some additional topics for that episode, depending on when we decide to drop that. It will be here on YouTube. So definitely show love, subscribe, and hit that like button. We really do appreciate that. So I had some additional final thoughts on this bit, game of the year stuff.
Do we want to choose who we think is going to win?
For our game of the year?
Yeah.
I think we should wait.
Okay.
I think we should wait.
Well, not for our personal choices, but just for the award show itself.
For the award show itself,
who do you think that majority chose?
Okay, so there was drama surrounding Last of Us. Animal Crossing was crazy amazing. Hades, a lot of positive thoughts on that. Ghost of Tsushima. Okay, so it's probably going to be either between three. Ghost of Tsushima, Animal Crossing, and Last of Us. Okay, if I had to narrow it down, strong second would be Animal Crossing, and then Game of the Year, if I had to pick. What I think they will pick, Ghost of Tsushima.
See, I'm flipped.
Okay.
I think the game of the year that will be chosen is Animal Crossing, with Ghost of Tsushima coming in second.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. So we'll table that for the game of the year episode. And then we'll also talk about our game of the year when we do that episode, when that time comes. So that's all I have on this particular bit. So I know you said, so we're shifting gears. We should go into the next one, which is not in our notes. Okay.
What is that?
Not in our notes, but I wanted to talk to you about it because I thought it was a very interesting thing hear about.
Plot twist. You didn't tell me.
Okay. I did give you a preview though. Because you said anything relating to this individual, you ignore or you dismiss. So you kind of know I'm going.
Okay. Go for it. This is all you. I got nothing to say nice about this person.
I am. So let's talk about the Jake Paul fight and Nate Robinson. Okay.
Okay.
So just to give you a backstory from what I heard, I watched the... I watched the boxing match, which is on his YouTube channel, by the way. Apparently, as the story goes, I'm going to close some tabs here. Nate Robinson started talking some trash about some stuff. And then Jake Paul decided to challenge him to come to the ring. And I think that from what I'm seeing with Jake Paul, he has an excellent trajectory to do very well in boxing. Okay. Jake Paul is 23 years old. His channel has over 20 million subscribers on YouTube. He has shown to be an incredible athlete for boxing. I don't listen to his rap music, but he has some catchy stuff there. His recent song was with Mike Tyson, et cetera, et cetera. So there's accolades there. Nate Robinson, 3-time slam dunk champion. He's pretty short. So for him to jump that high to get 3 championships for slam dunk is amazing in and of itself. Incredible athlete, but not a trained boxer. Okay. So here you have it. Incredible athlete. And you have a boxer that is trained at least 2+ years. Intense training, like Rocky type training, like snow training, like all that, all the Rocky stuff he's doing on video. Right. So they promote this stuff along with the Mike Tyson fight, which with Roy Jones over the weekend. And this is the first fight that I watched for Jake Paul. And I must say that after the shenanigans in the beginning of the fight was over, a lot of holding, because I don't think Nate Robinson expected that much skill and talent for a YouTuber. And that's the biggest mistake that people make, right? Because somebody posts a lot of videos on YouTube or whatever, you believe that they don't have a skill set in something. Right. But the skill set to do YouTube involves a lot of different things, right? Marketing and different things like that. But you have to remember Jake Paul and his brother, Logan Paul, however you feel about them. That's not the point. The point is they got money. They can get good trainers. Okay. And if one brother is actually fighting right now, so the story right now is Jake Paul is the boxer, rapper. Logan Paul is the podcaster for Impulsive, which is the podcast where he invites different guests. Big show too. So I'm watching the fight. It was a pretty quick fight. I think about 2 rounds. And when it got serious, you could see the talent come out of Jake Paul. So now, I don't know his backstory. Okay. And I'm not defending anything. I don't know. Okay. I'm just making it clear. I don't know. But the trajectory of his boxing is looking very impressive. That's all I got. That's all I got. So he knocks out Nate Robinson. That's the TLDR. Okay. And he said he was going to. But the issue that I have is with more so Nate, not Jake, is why would you go in the ring with a trained boxer because you believe you have experience in the street? It's not the same. Different techniques. You know, it's a different set of skills. It's like, you know, you're saying I fought in the street, so let me jump in there with Conor McGregor, which he's considering. Why would you do that? It doesn't make sense, right? So I was very impressed by what I saw, and that's where I'm laying my hat, Daniela. I don't know his crazy past. Okay. I've heard some looting stories. I've heard different things with maybe his brother, or I don't know which one, with the mountains and the deceased bodies of filming. I've heard that. The other thing I need to put into perspective as well for anybody is that their lives are publicized, ours are not. Okay. And that's not defending them. I'm just saying that that's a little caveat to put out there. So I'm impressed with Jake's boxing. And I don't know. We'll have to see. Mike Tyson still is looking fantastic at 53. Incredible speed for his age. And the Mike Tyson fight, I don't consider that a draw. I think they made it a draw because of the charity that they were representing to make it a very historical moment for everybody to enjoy at that age, 53 plus or 50 plus. So if you have questions about the fight, feel free to ask. I'll answer stuff, or if you don't, we can move on.
Nope, I got nothing. I don't want to give that. I don't. That's my personal thing. I just don't care for him.
Yeah, super impressed by that. So what else did we have? So we have that. I definitely want to mention that the Mike Tyson fight. That was cool. I don't think it was a draw. Very impressed with what I saw, and I have a theory. I'll share this theory and then I'll leave it alone. I'm trying to let it go. I'm trying to let it go, but I can't let it go right now. I believe that he believes that he's righting wrongs when he jumps in the ring. So according to
I need to expand on that.
Yeah, it's interesting because according to his narrative, he feels like he's the underdog. He's always been the one that, as he says, folks believe that he would not achieve anything great. Yet right now he feels like he is at the beginning of his super climb, to be even greater in terms of breaking the boundary of, from what I understand, the first major YouTuber to be in a boxing career and do it really well, right? So there's that aspect of it. So I believe that as I'm watching him perform and hear him even on his brother's podcast or their podcast, depending how they have those companies set up, he's righting wrongs of the past because this is a new chapter of his life that he's trying to make changes to. So maybe the foolishness is done because I know there's plenty of that in the past. I don't know. The antics to promote a fight is part of he has the platform to do that. But we shall see. That's all. That's my theory.
Okay. That's all I got to say. I'm not even adding on to that.
That's all I got. Any final thoughts? I think I'm done. That's all I got. That's it.
Nope.
That is all. Nothing. Let me see. Any plugs? All right. So before we jump out of here, I definitely want to say that on this channel that you're watching right now, I did a video of all the secrets that got me from a handful of people to 1,000 subscribers, as well as how I got monetized. So all of the tricks and quote unquote secrets that I used to get there, I share in this video, and it's on this channel. So definitely subscribe for that if you want to check that out. I believe it's a great resource for content creators who are willing to check it out. And YouTube doesn't reward how much work we put in a video. YouTube rewards if folks enjoy it. That's it. So it doesn't matter how much work went into it. Not that much, because I had the information prior to it. It was just a matter of just recording the video. But I finally got to recording the video and it's out, and I'm excited about it and hope you guys can check it out and get some value from there and even some additional resources that you may not have been aware of before. So there's that. Other things I want to mention before we get out of here is, if you're starting a podcast, you can use the promo code TSR, TSR, and get a free month of Libsyn. You can definitely do that. And of course, ProXPN, and these links will be in the show notes as well. ProXPN is the VPN, Proton VPN. I did it again. Proton VPN is the VPN that I currently use. They have a free version. I am on their paid version right now. This is an ad because I love them. This is not a paid account that they gave me. So I want to make that clear, but definitely check them out. I believe that they're the best free VPN out now. And they're the same company that made Proton Mail. So that's what I wanted to share with you guys. And I think that's all I got, Daniela. The rest is yours.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you guys for hanging out and checking out this episode. We appreciate, if you want to support, you can definitely go and sign up for the Patreon at, patreon.com/AndrewAlliance. Of course, a free way of supporting is always, leaving a review. Let us know what you think, sharing it with a friend. Appreciate you for, listening and hanging out. And of course, you can always follow us. You can check out Andrew, at twitter.com and twitch.tv. at Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A. You can also visit his website at www.andrew-alliance.com. And you can follow me and all of my socials on Twitter and on Twitch at Miss DJM. And until next time, have a fantastic week, and we'll see you later.